Hey everyone, welcome back. It's great to be with you. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the show. Super thrilled to be with you. Today we are going to talk all about creativity, innovation, and problem solving. Over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about beta brainwave mode, deep focus. We've talked about alpha brainwave states, which is moving out of stress into strategic thinking, learning. And now we're going to go even deeper into the theta brainwave state, which is creativity, innovation, and problem solving. A very, very relaxed state that's almost like daydreaming, sort of like ideation. It's where you come up with new ideas, new solutions to old problems, the insights, the eureka moments. And I was first introduced to this idea from Steve Wozniak from Apple Computer a number of years ago. And ever since then, I've been quite obsessed with finding new and better ways to get into this state more often, because I am a creator. I love writing. I love coming up with new ways of explaining information, of deconstructing physiology to help people. So hopefully this conversation and this presentation today helps you to do the same, to have a positive impact on the people that you love, that you care about, that you serve. So here we go. Please enjoy this snippet of a presentation that I did, all about creativity, innovation, and problem solving. I met Steve Wozniak, who I love, and he's the co-founder of Apple Computer. And because I was speaking, I had a chance to hang out with him in the green room before, after he spoke, before I spoke. And he talked about creativity. And I was like, oh, that's super cool and fun and just like all that awesome stuff. And so I was like, Steve, how do you practice creativity? He paused for a moment. He's like, I like to tell jokes in different languages. I was like, that's fine. Totally, like, just not even remotely close to helpful. I had such higher hopes for this conversation. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna go talk now. And he's like, great, nice to meet you. Here's my card. And it turns out he had metal business cards, which were exactly like mine. So I was like, okay, cool. We have the same cards. And that was really neat. A couple of years later, as I was writing one of the books, I came across some information, which was absolutely fantastic. And the information that I came across was that when we are in creativity, your brain works in a very specific way, such that two different regions of the brain become active at the same time and then are joined together through the deep white matter tracts of the brain. Two different regions of the brain become active at the same time and become joined together. And a light bulb went off, and I remembered Woz, and he said, telling jokes, humor, in different languages, language. He was linking up two different regions of the brain and practicing bringing them together, right? Like, oh my gosh, the guy was actually practicing brain hacking. Like, I got it. I was like, okay, cool. How do we do more of this? Because so many of the things that we need to do now include innovation, problem solving, new solutions to old problems, ideation, which are the key to the path forwards, because we have to construct a new world that's better. I think we can construct a new world that's better, but it requires a very different state of functioning. Specifically, again, looking it up, doing the brain mapping and all that sort of stuff, 50% again, less active than alpha states. So 16 to 30 hertz for beta brainwave, hustle, focus, execute, get stuff done. 8 to 15 hertz in the zone where we are in alpha zones, cut it in half again, sort of 4 to 8 cycles per second when we're in theta ideation zone, then you just fall asleep, right? That's delta waves or when you're out cold. So it's like literally you're about to fall asleep. You're daydreaming. You're ideating. You've probably all felt this if you've been driving long distances and your mind starts wandering. That's a theta brainwave state. Super dangerous. You're about to fall asleep. Please don't ever do that again, but that's a theta brainwave state. You may have also felt this if you've ever been in the shower in the morning, rhythmic, repetitive pattern of water hitting your forehead. You close your eyes, you relax, and all of a sudden, boom, you have that eureka moment where you have the solution to the problem that you've been thinking about for quite some time. When we relax in combination with rhythmical, repetitive patterns, that pulls you down into a theta state where your mind starts wandering to such an extent that two different parts of the brain can become active at the same time, and then they become joined together. And we need to access that now so that you can find the solution. You can find the new solution to the old problems. You can find the new product stack that helps your people. You can come up with the new business. You can figure out the different way of approaching
what you want to be doing with your family, whatever that happens to be for you. How do we access this deliberately? So where in beta mode, we need energy, where in alpha states, we need stillness. When we're in and trying to access a theta brainwave state, that's when we need rhythmic repetitive patterns. Walk, run, jog, swim, bike, paddle. Anything that is rhythmic and repetitive in nature. Think about it. When you go for a long walk and you happen to have the presence of mind to leave your phone at home, and you allow yourself to walk long enough such that your active thinking stops and your mind starts wandering, boom, that's when the new ideas pop into your brain. I truly believe that this is why in business we are seeing so many people get out of golf and into cycling. Because when you're out for a long bike ride, it's inevitable. You can't look at your phone or else you crash. And so your mind, you rhythmic repetitive pattern with your legs, and all of a sudden your mind starts ideating, you come up with new solutions to old problems. Creativity depends upon this state. And we need, the world needs your creativity at the highest possible level. So if you need to access this, walk, run, jog, swim, bike, paddle for long enough that your mind starts to relax and wander, you are in theta state, new ideas will pop into your brain when you do that. The amplifiers for this, walk, run, jog, swim, bike, paddle, in nature. Another amplifier, walk, run, jog, swim, bike, paddle in nature without your phone, without any electronic devices on your body, even music or audiobooks or podcasts, which I understand are great. And if you want to go for a walk to listen to a podcast, that's all good. If you want to go for a walk to come up with a new solution to an old problem, leave everything at home. Don't worry about it. Everyone else has their phone if you need it, right? Can I borrow someone's phone? It's really important. Like 65 people will hand you their phone. For me, my spot to do this is without question on the lake on my paddleboard. And I have dropped 2 phones in Lake Ontario, so I now no longer bring my phone out with me on the paddleboard. So in radical transparency on that one. Thoughts about getting into creative states. Rhythmic repetitive patterns are critical. Deep calm matters tremendously. And then there's one other sort of unlock, and that is solitude. There's a reason why the Beatles created Abbey Road Studios. It was a place where they could go to be completely alone, to do their best work in a completely protected place with their producer. Now, solitude does not mean you alone. It could mean you and your team. It could mean you and your family. It could be you and your partner. I also want to make sure that we differentiate between solitude and loneliness, because we live in an era when we are more connected than we have ever been. Yet we are also lonelier than we've ever been. And so I want you to understand that, and we'll talk tomorrow a lot about connection, but practicing solitude such that you can defend your creativity is a core practice that I would love for all of us to think about moving forwards. But this just doesn't mean that I want you to be lonely. I do want you to be with your loved ones. I want you to be with the people who elevate you, who support you, who challenge you, who enable you to positively impact the world. And there's one subtle difference between loneliness and solitude, which I learned from Dr. Robin, and that is, it's your choice. If you're alone by yourself and it's not your choice, that hurts. If you're alone by yourself consciously and deliberately, fantastic. The effects on us are completely different. And so for you, choose a path forwards when you need to be in creative solitude. But let's also, in a world when we are more connected than ever, yet more disconnected than ever, and so many people are hurting, recognize that it's probably a really good idea right now to reach out, to connect, to go for the walk, to have the dinner, to make sure that the people that we love, who we care about the most, aren't struggling with that issue of loneliness, which so many people are, and you'll never know about it. So it's almost like counterintuitive, but doing 2 things at the same time, defend your time, defend your attention, give yourself permission to be alone, but then also let's make sure that we do that as a conscious decision, and we support people who may be that way, but it's not their choice, because that's how we can also create this incredible connection around the world to make the world a much, much better place. Any thoughts whatsoever about all of that before I wrap things up? These are all just sort of amplifiers that you can stack upon each other. If you're not going to do it at all, but you have an indoor bike at home or in your gym, hit the indoor bike. I have both. I've got an indoor treadmill. I've got the indoor bike. I've got the indoor yoga mat. I just like riding my bike outside a lot better, right? There, it's cool. Just, you know, everything's great in a spectrum. I also don't want anyone here to think like I'm perfect by any stretch of the imagination, right? We've got all the way from over here and all the way to over here on every single thing that I've spoken about. And all we're trying to do is just to move the needle slightly. And some of them I'm doing really amazing. In other areas, I'm like an early learner, always approaching with curiosity, non-judgment, no expectation, just to trying to move forwards and learn and experiment and test and try. And that way we all end up in a better place. Hope that answers your question. So parasympathetic versus sympathetic. Sympathetic is your stress, active, get stuff done mode, super important for getting things done. Parasympathetic is your rest, recovery, and regeneration state. Beta mode, focused execution, high activity, high energy, full on sympathetic zone. I'm in full on sympathetic activation right now. Theta state, way over here on the parasympathetic side. Alpha state's probably a little bit of the balance in the middle. And there's one other one that I'll talk about tomorrow called a gamma state, which is flow, the zone, all those sorts of things, which is sort of oscillating a little bit, but we'll get into that a little bit later. By the way, when I use exercise as my means of getting into creativity, looking at the two of you, I now realize that I should have emphasized it could be exercise, it can be music, it can be art, it can be writing, it can be carpentry, it can be absolutely anything. Like whatever your craft is that gets you into your state, that's you. That's great. Lean on it, go for it. When you find that zone, when you're like, oh my gosh, this is me, this is my wheelhouse, this is what I'm doing at the highest level, like that's the spot. That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be exercise. That's just the one that I leaned into. Yeah, so for you, so Peter, you do what I do here, and your job is to get people into a creative state. What I would do is I would recognize that every single person walking into that room is probably in full-on beta mode. Stressed, nervous, tense, anxious, fearful, upset, and they're in that state. You can lead them over the course of your work with them out of that stress beta mode. I've just got to get stuff done, my to-do list. Oh my God, my emails are racking up while I'm sitting here. Down into like, maybe there's a different way of doing things. Right? That's your job. Phil Jones teaches sales, right? His job is to help people get out of stress mode when they walk in the room and help anyone who's working in that space to walk people through out of beta, down into alpha, into theta, such that they can actually consider a different future, right? That's what we're all trying to do. It's helping people see a new, different, better future and guide them there with love, with support, with unconditional community, basically, right? There's actually been a very cool, I'm accessing it in my brain, so that's why I'm closing my eyes. There is a very cool study that found the intensity level where people were able to access a flow state. There's three different intensity levels in human physiology. There's a base level where you're largely at rest. There's an intermediate level where your physiology begins to become activated, but there was no accumulation of stress factors. And then there's a level, that a threshold that you go beyond where the stress factors start to like pile on top. If you think about this in terms of a workout, easy walk would be level one. Jogging comfortably would be level two. Running to the point that you produce lactate and breathe hard would be level three. The point at which humans are most easily able to enter the flow state is right before you transition from level two to level three. So it's challenging, but not overwhelming. The danger is, because it's so close to not overwhelming, the danger is that if you add any tension whatsoever, you go straight into tension, overwhelm, fatigue, and it just all falls apart. That's why athletes, when you watch them right before they're about to compete, they're constantly pulling themselves just back off the edge. There. So you speak in front of 7,000 people, you can do it. It's within your capabilities, but it's challenging. It's exciting. It's interesting. It's going to test your capabilities. You're right on that edge. That's the sweet spot. It's also the reason why you can't get into the zone when you're bored. Nothing there. Whatever, right? Like if it's super easy for you, just nothing. You can do it. I actually recommend people do the boring stuff and think about that. That's your beta brainwave mode stuff. Get psyched up, get energized, and get through it as fast as you can to get back onto the other stuff, right? Like that's in, for me, that's like invoicing, admin, emails, to-do lists, shopping, all that sort of stuff, fast as I can. So I can get back to thinking about how to do this better. Great clarification. Thank you.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. I really hope that was helpful. Obviously, it's a little bit of a different format, but super psyched to be able to share that information with you. I hope that it was helpful. If it was, please share this with your community. Please let someone else know about the show. Let someone else know about the episode. Forward it to them. And that helps us tremendously. If you could also leave a review on your podcast platform of choice, whether that's iTunes or Spotify. That also makes a massive difference for us and really helps us out. And of course, if you can follow me on social at Dr. Greg Wells or on LinkedIn / Dr. Greg Wells, that would be tremendously wonderful as well. Ping me with questions. Make sure that this is all about you, and we will continue to build content for you this year that helps you to be healthy, to perform better, and to get to a place where your well-being is exactly where you want it to be. All right, everyone. Thanks again. We'll see you in the next episode really, really soon.